Okay, so our next speaker is Shelley Pate from the University of Tennessee. Give us an update on the assessment of seed treatment efficacy and cotton seedling disease presence using innovative techniques.
Thank you for that introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Shelley Pate. I'm a master's student at the University of Tennessee under Dr. Heather Kelly. And today I will be speaking to you about my project, which ultimately is an assessment of seed treatment efficacy and seedling disease presence using innovative techniques. Just to further give you an idea of what I'll be speaking on today, I'll be highlighting the importance of seedling diseases, the objectives of my project, the method we use to accomplish those objectives, the results yielded from our experiments, and finally, the conclusions that we were able to draw from those results. Cotton is a critical component of the textile industry globally. For the world's global cotton industry, the U.S. Ranks as the largest cotton exporter, and we're also the second largest global producer of cotton. However, nationally, the cotton industry generates more than $21 billion in terms of products and services, which in turn generates more than 125,000 jobs within the U.S. cotton industry. So obviously, a big threat to the U.S. cotton industry are pathogens, specifically seedling diseases. Over the last 5 years, seedling diseases have ranked within the top five pathogens known to cause yield loss in cotton. And in 2018 alone, it's estimated that over 162 bales of cotton were lost to seedling disease, which is the equivalent of $48.6 million lost. This staggering amount is what makes cotton seedling disease research not only important on a state level, but on a national level as well. For my project, I did have three main objectives, the first of which is that I wanted to analyze populations of Blaviopsis vesicula, Rhizoctonia solana, Pythium species, and Fusarium species, which are associated with causing seedling diseases in cotton, by their morphological features with scope work in our lab, as well as plating onto different types of selective media. To accomplish this, we did work in conjunction with the National Cotton Seed Treatment Trial Program, which allowed us to have 12 field trial locations ranging all the way up from Virginia over into Texas. We also asked our cooperators that they use the same untreated Delta Pine variety of 1522. In addition to this, we also asked our cooperators to put out all annually nominated seed treatments associated with the National Cotton Seed Treatment Trial. We did have 15 nominated seed treatments this year. However, the top four were our control treatments, one being Just Gaucho, which is an insecticide that was applied to all seeds, then it mitigates any insect damage early on in the growing season, two being Allegiance FL, only controlling for Pythium, three being Evergold Prime, only controlling for Rhizoctonia solana, and finally, our last control treatment was just a base fungicide controlling for all four pathogens. We also had our cooperators set up their locations using a randomized complete block design, utilizing at least three replications, having their row length 20 feet long or greater, and using a seeding rate of 3 to 5 seeds per foot. For the seedling and soil assessment aspect of this objective, we had our cooperators send us 100 seedlings from each of their field trial locations. We divided those up pretty evenly among selective medias, 20 going on to P5 ARP for Pythium, 20 going on to Malachite Green Auger for Fusarium, 20 going on to TBCM for the Thalabiopsis vesicula isolation, and those remaining 40 seedlings divided into two groups of 20 to be tested using ELISA kits, one testing for Pythium species and the other group being tested for Rhizoctonia solana. And those ELISA kits were double antibody sandwich ELISA kits. We also did ask that our cooperators send us soil from each of their field trial locations, which we baited using wooden toothpicks. After those toothpicks were baited, we placed them onto Terry Sperlite media, which is selected for Rhizoctonia solana for morphological identification. My second objective is that I wanted to improve and enhance population identification and quantification using some innovative methods and techniques. To accomplish this, we did perform ELISAs. As I mentioned earlier, they were double antibody sandwich typed ELISAs. We did have two groups, remembering that the first group was Rhizoctonia solana and the second group was testing for Pythium species. Each plate that we tested contained two locations worth of data, But also within each plate, we did include 2 reps of a positive kick control, 2 reps of a known positive inoculated seedling, 2 reps of a negative kick control, and 2 reps of a negative clean cotton seedling that we have harvested in our greenhouse for comparison for what we were seeing for our results for each location within a plate. We also decided to perform Pythium pathogenicity assays. This was really important when looking at our data. We noticed that some locations might have similar Pythium oscillation frequencies, but were quite different in terms of stand count data. We did this by saving oscillates collected originally from our P5 ARP, long-term storing them, and then picking 2 oscillates at random per location to be plated onto 1% water auger, allowed to grow out for about 7 days, at which time we added that Delta Pine variety of untreated black seed for comparison to see we would rate the seed damage in relation to the oscillate that we were testing. Ultimately, that rating was able to determine the aggressiveness of each oscillate tested, and overall, it allowed us to view which locations had the most pathogenic oscillates of Pythium. And also to give you an idea of that rating scale that we used to do this, it was a 0 to 4 scale, 0 being that the seed was quite healthy, it germinated with no visible infection, and 4 being the worst, where germination was not able to take place due to severe infection. My final objective is that I wanted to analyze both seed treatment efficacy based on the pathogens present and look at seedling emergence data from all of our field trial locations as well. To do this, we also asked our cooperators to take stand counts approximately 30 days after planting for every treatment across all of the replications for each location. And we also performed in-house seed germination testing for each individual treatment. We did this to make sure any conclusions we were drawing from our stand count data were due to field conditions or pathogens present in a location and not due to one treatment causing lack of germination across the board. Now we can get into the exciting part of this presentation. If you're not a Game of Thrones fan, I kind of feel sorry for you, but now we can talk about the results. First of all, with our oscillation frequencies, I've set up this table that you can see our location ID on the left, and across the bottom you can see the total of the oscillation frequencies based on the pathogens found up top. For our oscillation frequencies for Pythium, Thalabiopsis, and Fusarium, we base this off of the 20 seedlings that were plated onto selected media for each location. And for our soil populations of Rhizoctonia solana found on the right, we measured this in 100 propagules per 100 centimeters cubed. And just to give you an idea of what we saw, Fusarium came in top. We found that it was oscillated the most, coming in at 92% across all locations. There were actually only 2 locations that yielded less than 90% oscillation frequency for Fusarium. Secondly, we had Thalabiopsis vesicula, which also provided the most broad range of oscillation frequencies for all the locations. You had anywhere from 0% in some locations all the way up to 100% in Alabama, for example, but overall coming in at 52% across all locations. Finally, for our Pythium, it ranged not as high across the board as Thalabiopsis vesicula and also lower in terms of total oscillation frequencies among all locations, coming in at 26%. And finally, looking at our soil populations for Rhizoctonia solana, we were able to recover this from all field trial locations. However, we were only able to isolate at 27% across all locations. When we decided to compare our oscillation frequencies from our selected media to our results that we were seeing in our ELISA, it seemed that the selected media continued to provide higher oscillation frequencies across the board. I have just included these locations. You can see their IDs at the bottom in relation to their oscillation frequency on the right. The selected media in blue, as I said, generally provided higher oscillation frequencies as opposed to the ELISA and the orange. These locations yielded results for both types of comparison methods. It is concerning to see some differences within locations, which has prompted us to reconsider maybe increasing our sample size for next growing season to see if that will give us congruent results to this year's data. When we looked at our solana oscillation frequencies as opposed to ELISA, we did see similar results that our selected media in blue was giving us very good isolation frequency is pretty high, but again, we're seeing a lot of differences among locations when looking at selective media versus ELISA data. We are considering next year switching from isolating from soil, because we were able to isolate across all locations using soil, and maybe try to isolate from seedlings onto Terry Spurlock media or another type of selective media for Rhizoctonia solana, again, to see if that will give us better results or more congruent results with what we're seeing this year. For our pathogenicity assays, we were able to rate those across all locations to see which isolates were the most pathogenic. On the left-hand side, you can see that rating scale I mentioned earlier, 0 being no infection and 4 being that it was not able to germinate due to infection. We saw that Texas seemed to be the state out of all of our cooperatives that had the most pathogenic isolates across the board. TX1 location to the far right coming in very first, and TX2 not falling far behind. But when we looked at locations such as Arkansas and Georgia, I've left very pathogenic isolates in blue. You can see that within each location, they also had one isolate that tested pretty low in comparison. Some may argue that we may need to rerun these isolates, but most likely it's just due to a variation in pathogenicity between the two isolates that were tested in each location. Finally, for treatment efficacy, I just wanted to highlight our 4 control treatments again, 4 being that base fungicide treatment that controlled across all pathogens. It's no surprise that when compared to our non-treated check of treatment 1, it increased the most significantly over our non-treated check in terms of stand count data. But when we looked at all 15 of our annually nominated seed treatments, it was also no surprise to see that all of our nominated seed treatments significantly increased across our non-treated check of treatment 1 across all locations. So in conclusion, both selective media and ELISA continue to seem to provide accurate estimates of pathogen presence and pathogen pressure across all of our field trial locations. We might tweak our protocol a little bit to see if we can get some more congruent results on our isolation frequencies versus our ELISA data. And pathogenicity assays are helping us to better understand our seed treatment efficacy results, especially in those locations where we're getting similar isolation frequencies for Pythium, but we're getting very different stand count data. And we're also able to view which isolates of Pythium are the most pathogenic across all field trial locations. And finally, we really take pride that our field data and our lab analysis is kind of providing multidimensional data for pathogen identification and seedling disease effect on cotton. It's our hope that maybe with all this different type of data, we could eventually develop a risk model for cotton seedling diseases across the United States cotton belt. With that, I'd like to make some acknowledgments to our cooperators for the National Cotton Seed Treatment Trial. I know a lot of you are in this room. Thank you very much for all the constant emails and constant support. Thanks for being so supportive. To my advisor, Dr. Heather Kelly, and to Rachel Geyer, our research technician, as well as the staff at our research station in West Tennessee and the Cotton Disease Council, as well as Cotton Incorporated, providing funding to the National Cotton Seed Treatment Program. These are any references that you can view on the recording later online. And with that, I'll take any questions anybody may have. Yes. So the question is, with our Pythium isolates that we saved from the initial isolations on P5ARP, did we ID those to species level or just kept it at genera? Is that correct? No. This National Cotton Seed Treatment Trial has a history of over 24 years. In the past, nobody's ID'd them to species level. And moving forward, with the advisement of our cooperators, they seem to think that keeping it to genera was just fine. But when I was working with these assays, I thought it would be very interesting if we were able to identify them to species on the front end and not only be able to look at which Pythium isolates were the most pathogenic across locations, but maybe be able to pinpoint out which species are the most pathogenic or if we're seeing more than one species in one location. So no, we did not, but I think that would be very interesting moving forward.
But we have never reported the labiosis disease on sequence. How can you reconcile that?
Well, the question is that you've never seen thalabiopsis in Georgia before, and how would I reconcile that? Not on cotton. We did use selective media. We allowed it to grow out on TBCN for over 2 weeks, and then we did morphological identification under the scope. It's initially easy to see in the plate. The dark.
The question is, I'm not questioning that you found it. I'm questioning why we don't have it.
I don't have an answer for that. I just know what I saw under the microscope.